What does it mean to be a human in today's world? More crucially, what does it mean to be a human first? To understand the truth about how your body, brain, and mind work, and to know yourself enough to truly love yourself? These are the questions we'll explore on this season of the podcast. I'm Dr. Courtney Tracy, a licensed clinical social worker and doctor of clinical psychology in the state of California, and I'm the producer and host of this podcast. Thanks for hanging out with a therapist off the clock. I hope this podcast leaves you with helpful, powerful takeaways, or at least your heart feeling a little more full or a little more understood. I'm so excited you're here and even more glad you exist. Settle in and let's begin. I started the Truth Doctor on my son's first birthday. This was Halloween 2019. It has been almost 4 years, and I'm now 6 months pregnant with my next child, my daughter. Growing a following of almost 2 million online by doing these funny dances and relating trends to mental health concepts, it was fun. It was really fun then, back in 2020, 2021. And of course, when I'm saying it's fun, there were a lot of terrible things going on. But it was fun on the internet to do what I was doing to help people. Over the last 2 years, I have continued to struggle. And that's what these first two episodes of Human First Season 4 were about. When I was working on opening Exist Centers, which is an outpatient substance use and mental health treatment center, it really wasn't going great. I was very traumatized from the IVF, progesterone and oil shots. I was very sick when it came to morning sickness. I mean, I was doing the best I could, and we were pushing through, and we were super close to opening, but there was a lot of other things that were going on as well. I felt like I was failing in front of everyone. So here's what I ended up doing. One, we obviously put the opening of the treatment center on pause until early next year. But second, I wanted to go out and explore the job market. I was very curious to see what type of jobs were out there in my area of Orange County, California, and what type of treatment centers were out there as well. Is there a position for me at the moment that I can do what I want to do as a clinician, but perhaps in a center that isn't my own? I have education, experience, my overall background. So I went to multiple interviews and I found some incredible treatment centers, some that focused on first responders, on veterans, some that focused on co-occurring disorders, which are situations where people find themselves with both mental health and substance use issues. And that's sort of my bread and butter when it comes to being a clinician. However, throughout this job interview process, I had an experience that not only shifted what I wanted to do next for the Truth Doctor, but that also shifted what Max wanted to do, my husband, if this is your first episode listening, with his time and with his energy. So here's what happened. I go to a job interview for a clinical director position. I'm like ridiculously overqualified for this position, but I'm open to it. It's part-time, it's in my area, it's my population of expertise. I go there and I don't know how else to say it, but when I asked about the populations that this treatment center treated, I was met two separate times by two separate people, completely unprompted, with comments about borderline personality disorder patients. It might have been because this was like a mental health focused facility, and so maybe they get more people that have personality disorders. I don't know. I really didn't dive deep into it. But basically, when they were discussing the type of populations that they treated, two separate staff members decided to make comments about the fact that because they are a mental health treatment center, they do have to work with the quote unquote borderlines, and that they don't want to work with them, but they have to work with them, and that they can be really fun when they like you and can leave you really great reviews online, and they can be really horrible when they don't like you, but eventually they come around. And so we just kind of put up with them here. This employer, potential employer, did not know that I was diagnosed with borderline. I didn't even ask if they treated borderline. I didn't bring up anything about personality disorders, but they continued to talk about this population of people, my people, in a very derogatory, degrading, stigmatized, hopeless way. And frankly, it felt really fucked up. It really just told me that immediately anyone who is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder or shows borderline traits or gets diagnosed when they're at this center is trying to heal in an invalidating environment. They are being invalidated and seen as their disorder before they're being seen as a human being. And with those conversations being the types of conversations that were not only happening in job interviews that I was going to for licensed and accredited treatment centers that specifically treated mental health disorders, but I was also seeing this type of information and commentary be placed online in my public community. I would make a piece of content that was meant to be really helpful for people with borderline, and I would be met with really dangerous, harmful, and incorrect statements about people with borderline personality disorder. It's even happened when in the past I've made addiction posts and someone says, once an addict, always an addict, or addicts always lie, or just these statements that are placed on these populations of people that are just individualized human beings that have their own presentation of behaviors and symptoms and causes of why they ended up the way that they did, why they act the way that they act, feel the way that they feel, think the way that they think, say the things that they say. We need to heal in validating environments. And what is a validating environment? Let's start with the definition of a community. I not only looked up the Oxford Dictionary definition of community, but I also went into the research to see how do people define communities in the mental health space. The Oxford Dictionary has two primary definitions for community. One is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. Okay, that makes sense. Or a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Those are both really excellent. A group of people having a particular characteristic in common and a feeling of fellowship. I like that. It's a thing and it's a feeling. In the research, I found something really beautiful. It was in a book called Understanding the Community from 2015, written by Alima Agarwal, and I want to read you something from it. It's very short. Clusters of individual lives make up communities, societies, and cultures. To understand some of the complexities, complications, and confusions within the life of just one member of a community is to gain insights into the collective. That is so beautiful to me, and I want to repeat it to you one more time. Clusters of individual lives make up communities, societies, and cultures. To understand some of the complexities, complications, and confusions within the life of just one member of a community is to gain insights into the collective. When I hear this, I imagine an entire life in one human being, an entire ecosystem. And that's how I see human beings in general. That's why I call my entire following humans, because there's so much to you. There's so much to being a human being, and we forget that. And so reading this quote, I was like, oh my God, yes, we are so complex and complicated and confusing, and we feel complex and complicated and confused as people. And when someone gets an opportunity to get to know our story and to get to know us, they really do get to learn a little bit about every community that we identify with. But the key part to this quote is where it says, to understand the life of just one member of a community is to gain insights into the collective. It's not to say now you know everything there is to know about this collective community. It's that now you've gained insight into the collective. You have now a new perspective to think about this label, this location, this experience, this belief system. You gain insight. That is such a major part of what a community is. You gain insights from other people, and you get to share your own insights with other people. I created 7 aspects of a healthy mental health community, and I want to go over those with you now. The first one is, of course, a safe and supportive space. When you think about a validating environment or a safe mental health community, it has to be an environment that is understanding, non-judgmental, and empathetic, where individuals feel safe to share their experiences and struggles without the fear of stigma, without the fear of stigma. And when I'm making these posts on social media, sometimes the comments are horrible. Sometimes I take those comments and I make new content with them. Like someone that said to me that I'm not a monster if I have borderline, as long as I don't have children, when they were a follower, knew I had a child and that I was pregnant, that hurts me. But more so, it hurts my community and the people who are there to have a safe and supportive space to be validated. Now, I do the best that I can to sort of cipher through, are these people coming from a place of pain? Because I know, as someone that has borderline personality and other really difficult conditions, that I have hurt people and I do hurt people sometimes, and I really don't mean to. And so it's like, are these people coming from a place of pain because they've been hurt by people like me? That doesn't make it okay, but I try to say, should I block them? Should I just use this as a learning experience for other people in my community? You know, what are the steps that I want to take? And primarily, you know, I will delete things that I think are just that have gone too far. And now sometimes I'll share things that I think have gone way too far. Like the worst comment that me and my community have ever received when it comes to borderline is that the only treatment for borderline is medically assisted death. That is such a fucked up thing to say to someone, especially when the disorder that they're referencing already takes the lives of 10% of the people who have this diagnosis, and that the people that have this diagnosis or traits of this diagnosis suffer from passive suicidal ideation and self-harm and suicide attempts frequently. It's just so important to remember that you deserve a safe and supportive space to express yourself and to learn about how to get better without somebody telling you that you're never going to. Okay, number one, safe and supportive space. Safe and supportive space. Number two, accessible mental health resources. Whether this is a local community, our nation, whether it's in your family, whether it's an online social media space, or whether it's in an offline internet space, you deserve accessible mental health resources. If we think about that on a national or local scale, it means, can you have access to quality mental health services, therapy options, support groups, crisis helplines that are readily available and, again, easily accessible to all community members? Three, empowerment and advocacy. Mental health communities that are validating environments should encourage individuals to take an active role in their mental health journey. They should be getting tools and resources for the ability to advocate for themselves, and they should be supporting each other in navigating the challenges of their mental illness or of their mental health difficulties. Empowerment and advocacy. If you really are in a proper mental health community, not only are you feeling safe and supported, not only do you have access to mental health resources, but you also, those resources and that environment lead you to feeling empowered and lead you to feeling like you can advocate not only for yourself, but for other people. Number four, holistic mental health approach. Unless the community is specific to a certain intervention, to a certain approach, to a certain modality, if you're allowing a large group of people that can form a community because they have something in common to exist in the same space, there needs to be an awareness that as much as each of those individuals are the same, they are also different. So when I'm saying holistic mental health approach, I'm not thinking about things like holistic interventions. I mean, maybe I am, but I'm more so thinking like holistic in terms of like wholeness, many options, looking at things from multiple perspectives and being able to say, this works for me, this doesn't work for me, this may work for me, but let me think about other people in my community that this may not work for, and now what are their options? And in what way can I help those options become more available to them? And this leads into number five, embracing diversity and reducing stigma. This is why I brought up the job interview. Because to be the CEO of a mental health treatment center and to not embrace the diversity of various mental health disorders and how they present, and to not reduce the stigma, but to contribute to it, especially to do so in a job interview where you are basically making sure that the person that you're hiring on is going to have the same opinion that you do about someone with borderline personality disorder. I mean, that is absolutely contributing to it. When it comes to embracing diversity and reducing stigma, national, local mental health communities that are validating environments are going to recognize maybe co-occurring disorders, intersectionality, whether that comes to socioeconomic status, whether they experience specific types of discrimination related to disability or to race or to gender. Mental health communities that are validating environments must embrace diversity and must reduce stigma, or they're not actually allowing progress to happen. Celebrating diversity within the mental illness community, respecting different experiences and backgrounds, and working together to combat the stigma associated with the mental health conditions that your community is created around is so incredibly vital. Now, we're talking about communities here. So number six is community engagement and connection. I don't think you could really call a community if there wasn't any actual community engagement and connection. Communities should facilitate opportunities for meaningful connections among community members. They should foster support networks, and they should combat isolation through group activities and events. I had a meeting with the US Surgeon General probably a couple months ago now, and it was about the fact that there is an epidemic of loneliness across the globe and specifically in our nation. Community is meant to combat isolation, and if you feel isolated in a community, then it might not be the right community for you. If you feel stigmatized in your community, especially a community where you're trying to heal, then that might not be the right community for you. When you're thinking about joining a community, it's so important to ask yourself, how am I going to be able to feel less alone? And it's not just about there being people around you. It's, do you feel like you have the ability to actually connect? Do you feel safe enough to actually share your own experience and receive constructive or supportive feedback or criticism? Or are you going to be attacked because it's something on Instagram? Are you going to be attacked because it's something on TikTok, something that's public? Are you going to be attacked because you thought that this was a validating, helpful, supportive, destigmatizing community, but instead you find out that the people that are actually running the community, running the joint, running the treatment center, are making things worse for you and pretending like they're trying to help on the surface? The last one is mental health education and awareness. If you are in a validating, healthy, helpful mental health community, you should really be learning about how to get better. You should be getting mental health education and awareness. You should be getting educational resources, workshops that can help you increase your understanding of your mental health condition, of mental health overall. You deserve to be learning about how to get better, not just being told, get better now. And that happens so much in mental health communities where people are like, I'm here for you, I want to be there and support you, but like, what is taking so long? And it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't have a space where I feel safe. I don't have a space where I feel like I belong. And I don't have a space where I'm actually learning the things that I need to learn. Like, you're just telling me that like, you accept me for who I am, but then you treat me like who I am is not good enough and you want me to get better now. We need to find spaces and people, environments and communities that truly help us learn about how we function as a human, treat us as a human being, and help us become the human being that we really want to become. I have three slogans as the Truth Doctor, and for any of you that have followed me on Instagram over the last 4 years, you might know what they are. The first one is, you're a human first, and that's a really important statement. I'm sure that you know what that means at this point because you're listening to the Human First podcast, and maybe you have the Human First tattoo. There's a lot more Human First stuff coming out in the future, but for right now, I've been fulfilling that slogan, you're a human first, by having this podcast. The second one is, your unconscious is showing. And I'm currently writing my debut nonfiction book called Your Unconscious is Showing. The third one is, I'm so glad you exist. I love saying this to people. Sometimes people think it's bullshit because how can I be glad that you exist when I don't really know you? And that's important for two reasons. One is the human condition is really difficult. And if you are telling me that you are neurodivergent, that you have been through trauma, that you have borderline traits or borderline personality disorder, or that you just feel lost or confused, or that something that I posted resonated with you, then I know that there is something in your life that has been fucking difficult and you still exist. You're still here. I do not know how the fuck I got on this planet, why I am here, why it is so difficult, and why so many days out of my life, I wish I was not alive. And then the next day, I'm so happy to be alive. Like, I wanna be those happy days, or at least the reminder of those happy days for people, or at least I want to be the feeling that somebody knows that it's not easy to exist. And when I say to people, I'm so glad you exist, it's because I know how hard it can be to keep existing when it feels like not existing would be so much easier. So whenever you see that, I'm so glad you exist. Whenever you hear me say that, please know that what I'm referencing is your ability to stay alive. So I created a validating environment, a safe and supportive mental health community that takes a holistic approach, embraces diversity and reduces stigma, includes community engagement and connection, provides mental health education and awareness, empowers you, advocates for you, and provides you mental health resources off of social media. And it is called Glad You Exist. Glad You Exist is the expert-led, peer-driven program that provides human beings with borderline personality a new way of caring for themselves and others. Now, keep in mind that we are welcoming other mental health conditions into our community. Other mental health conditions that present in a really similar way to borderline would be people that are diagnosed with CPTSD, people that are not diagnosed with anything and feel like they have traits of borderline, traits of CPTSD, also people who are in the neurodivergent community. Oftentimes, the presentation of dysregulated symptoms stemming from neurodivergent conditions can present in really personality dysfunctional ways. Personality disordered ways where you just feel like you can't function in your life because nobody understands what you need. Maybe you don't understand what you need, or you don't know how to express your needs, or you're in burnout, or you're in shutdown, or you're having meltdowns, whatever it is. We want to welcome you into this community as well, but we will be really monitoring it to make sure that this is a safe, stigma-free space for people who have ever resonated with my own history, with the criteria for borderline personality disorder. This is a space for people who have something to say where someone would say that they're a bad person for the things that they've done in their past, where someone would say that they're not gonna get better because of how frequently their behaviors are still occurring. This is a space that I will be in along with my cousin, a mindfulness and somatic coach named Maggie Scotto, with multiple years in both emotional and substance use recovery, along with other experts and fellow mental health BPD, neurodivergent people and therapists, where you are gonna get an opportunity every single week to experience a new resource, a new workshop, a new skill set, a PDF, a live Q&A, a live webinar with me. Every week there will be something for you to use to understand yourself better as a human being and to finally start to heal in, again, a safe and validating environment. You will have every month a live mental health workshop with me that is specific to skills and causes and solutions for borderline personality and other mental health symptoms and behaviors. Monthly live Q&As closed off from social media, away from anything that anybody could possibly say negative in the comment section, and live Q&As where you can pop on and meet me and I will directly provide you resources and skills and tips and education that can guide you on your next step towards healing. Monthly live somatic healing exercises led by trained facilitators. So these are things like actually learning about your physiology and actually learning about your body. Your body is the one environment that you can't leave. So how can we get you to a place where it feels like a safe home that maybe you have never had? How can we get you to feel like your body can be used to your benefit and not just as a reminder of how painful existence can be? To check in off social media safely and start your journey of healing, or continue your journey of healing if you're already on one. It's $48 a month, and we start the community off with a 3-month subscription at $145. It's less than one therapy session for 3 months at $145, and you are getting so much. I'm ready after 4 years to really meet you, to really help you, and to be helped by you as well. Because this is not therapy and this is not treatment. I am interested in meeting you in real life, helping you in real life. I mean, yes, it's over the internet, but I wanna see your face and I wanna know your name, and I want you to know that you're not alone, and I want you to have a space where you can feel like someone is glad that you exist, and hopefully that someone can be you. We can get to a place where the fact that we are glad that you exist helps you feel glad that you are. Now, I'm really excited because I wanna see what you have to bring to the table too, because as much as I say it's expert-led, when I say expert-led, I don't only mean me as an expert and the other experts that I'm gonna bring on that understand borderline personality, neurodivergent, and other mental health conditions, but you are also the expert in your experience. And I really wanna learn from you too. I want you to know that you have important shit to share, and we wanna give you the opportunity to do that. So you can find more information about this community at thetruthdoctor.com/glad you exist. thetruthdoctor.com/glad you exist. And because you listen to this podcast, I also want to give you a 20% discount. So when you go in there and you go to check out to join the community, you can use this either for the 3-month membership that we have. We also have an annual membership option for $432 for the entire year. The 20% discount code will apply to both options. And that code is HF Pod. So HF, like for human first, all capitals, HF pod, POD for podcast. You can plug that in at thetruthdoctor.com/glad you exist. We will not be allowing this discount code to be used after August 1st. I also want to say that we have really limited space. And I'm serious, I hate marketing, I hate sales. I have such a barrier where I just don't wanna bullshit people, like it hurts my heart, I'm not capable of doing it. So when I say that we have limited space, I really mean it. When I say I wanna get to know you, I really mean it, and that's why we have limited space. And if you are thinking about it, let me just tell you about the things that we have planned upcoming. We have 6 different principles that we go by in the Glad You Exist community. The first one is safety and security, where we are addressing what does it mean to be safe, to be a safe person? What does it mean to feel secure, to have a secure environment, to build a support system around you? That's the first workshop that we're doing, specifically looking at neurodivergent and borderline communities. Then the next week, we are doing a reading group where everyone's going to get a reading material to read before the group. And then we're going to get in and process what it brought up for us, how it relates to the stories of our own symptoms and behaviors and experiences, and how we can take a lesson from this reading, a lesson from what each of us share in this group, and then go on to try to heal ourselves in the future. We also take a look at physiology and what it really means to live in a human body and what consciousness is when it comes to the fact that we can either be completely unaware of how we're feeling through dissociation or hyper, hyper, hyper aware of how we're feeling, where we're just so overwhelmed sensorily or even mentally and psychologically. And what does that mean when it comes to what we're experiencing in our bodies and what can we use moving forward? There will be somatic healing workshops where you will learn yoga techniques, mindfulness techniques for those that have been traumatized, for those that have not been traumatized, breathing techniques that may work for you and some that you know won't, and really acknowledging that you deserve skills and tools that work for you, and we will help you figure out what those are. We're also going to look at unconscious patterns. How does your brain function out of your control? And what stories, what psychological stories have you told yourself that are significantly affecting you in an unconscious way? We're also going to take a look at relapse and regression. Whether you use substances or not, the word relapse can also mean going backwards, feeling as though you're going backwards, reverting back into old patterns and habits. And this can happen a lot with people with personality disorders and people with neurodivergency because we're wired a certain way. And as much as we want to be wired a different way, the old wiring is so powerful and so strong. And so what do we do? How can we become aware of what it looks like for us to be falling backwards? And how can we catch ourselves or ask other people to help us? Another principle is self-esteem and self-actualization. Let's actually get you to feel like you're a person that has worth, desires, perspectives, opinions, help you feel confident in those things, and help you take steps forward to start to actualize who you want to be. And then also health-related social needs, like what's going on in your real world, in your real environment, and how can we help you find actual local, safe, validating communities and environments where you don't only have to rely on our community, our Glad You Exist community, to feel like you have a place in the world. How can we help you create a place in your own life, even if that's in your own apartment, even if that's in your own neighborhood, even just with one friend or one family member? Let us help you initiate creating your own safe mental health community. We are not expecting you to stay in Glad You Exist forever. We're expecting you to learn through our principles. Let us learn from you while you learn from us. Heal a little, make resources and support systems for yourself outside of our community, and then just flourish like a human being that's actually glad that they exist, where you actually feel happy. So we have workshops, we have PDFs, we have webinars, we have somatic skill building, we have experts coming in, we have a community feed where you can share your journey and your struggles. We have challenges that are going to be going on every week or every month that I will be participating in right alongside you. I want to heal with you. I am so sick of how hard it has been over the last few years, and I'm so sick of the distance between us. Less expensive than treatment. Again, it is not a replacement for treatment or therapy. I'm not going to be able to provide you directly. Let's go back and look at all of your historical stuff. Let me give you screenings and assessments and diagnoses. That's not what's happening here. We're going to meet each other like humans, and we are going to help each other heal, because there are not enough spaces on this fucking planet, even in mental health treatment centers, where we can feel safe and supported and validated in a mental health community. So just one more recap for you. The discount code for 20% off of the Glad You Exist community is all capitals, no spaces, HFPOD. There are limited spaces. And out of 2.3 million people globally, if you are interested in this, I really want you to check it out. thetruthdoctor.com/GladYouExist. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm honestly filming it the day that I'm releasing it because I haven't been feeling too glad that I exist for the last couple days, and that's okay. And I want you to be able to show up in this community if that's how you're feeling. I am so glad that you exist. I'm so glad I'm making this episode. I'm so glad that the community is coming out. And our first workshop is next week. It will be live. If you can't make it, it will be recorded. You can watch it after. And it's on safety and security. It's on how to feel safe as a human being when perhaps all you've known is unsafety. And I'm so excited to meet the people that are going to be in it. And I hope that one of them is you. It only feels appropriate to close out this episode by saying, I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. And regardless of whether or not I see you in the Glad You Exist community, or if you go and find yourself the right mental health community for you, I am so glad that you exist.